Read today from Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. We're excited about our new service schedule coming in March. The first Sunday in March, you'll see that change. And we'll be adding a class time at 10:15. And we will have pre-service prayer in the event center starting at 9:30, all the way up to 10:15 if you would like. And then classes here. There'll be an adult class. It's going to be a little different format than what we've used in the past, but it'll be exciting. And then we'll be other classes for different age groups and interests all over the building. And that'll be from 10:15 to 10:45. And then we'll have a time of focused prayer where somebody will be leading us in prayer as we get ready to start the service at 11. We'll start about 10:50 to 11, and then our worship service at 11 o'clock. And we're just believing that God's going to bless us, and we're thankful for all of those who are going to be teaching and preparing. It's work. It's work to be a teacher, and it's work to prepare a lesson and to study and to pray throughout the week. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to our children. It's a blessing to our youth, a blessing to our adults. And so thank you for those of you that are going to be teaching. I know it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful change in addition to our schedule. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. I want to talk to us today about gifts of the Holy Ghost. How many of you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost? And that is certainly a wonderful, wonderful, the most awesome gift you could ever receive. But we're going to go just a little further about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Would you lay your Bibles down and just lift your hands to heaven and ask God to speak to our hearts? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We worship you for what we feel here today. And God, I pray that your will would be done in us. We ask, Lord, that you would confirm your word among us. I pray, Lord, that you would minister and work in every life. Open our hearts, Lord, to hear what you have for us today. Do the work in us, I pray, that is your will. And we give you all the praise and the glory for it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, can you just thank the Lord for his love, for his presence, for his goodness in this house today? Lord, what a blessing to come together and worship you. What a blessing to feel your touch, to feel your power, Lord, to know that you're here in this place, in our midst, working in our lives. Lord, we exalt your name. We praise your name. There is no God beside you, but I worship you, Lord. You're the only God. You're my friend, Lord. You're my King. You're my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. Oh, come on, somebody, from the depth of your soul right now, why don't you just press on just a little bit? I love you, Jesus, and I worship you, Lord, and I want to live for you, and I want to serve you. I want to be in your will. I want to accomplish your purpose for my life, Lord. Let your will be done, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Let your will be done, oh God. Work in me. Move through me, Lord. Use this church. Use our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. He killed us. I feel like before we go any further, there's just somebody here that you need to open your heart and say, God, whatever you want me to do, However you want to use my life, however you want to work through me, Lord, I put everything else aside and I seek after your will. I seek after your purpose for my life today. Let your will be done in me. Let your will be done in this church. I pray the will of God in this city. I pray the will of God in this surrounding area. Let your will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. The gifts of the Holy Ghost. Salvation. The writer of Hebrews calls it great salvation. And there is nothing greater. There is nothing greater. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing more precious. There is nothing more important. There is nothing better to seek after. There is absolutely nothing more valuable and significant than this great salvation given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not made salvation the greatest priority of your life, then you must not leave this place today without it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It was first spoken of by the Lord, and then it was confirmed by those who heard it. And verse 4 of our text today says that God confirmed the message of great salvation by giving signs and wonders with various miracles and with a variety of gifts of the Holy Ghost. This lines up with the direction of the Lord in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark followed that up 2 verses later in verse 20. He said, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. It is the intention of God to confirm that this is really real. It is the intention of God to confirm that this salvation is so absolutely great. To confirm that Jesus Christ is Lord of all through signs and wonders and miracles. We see evidence of that throughout the New Testament from the day of Pentecost on. And as we today are to be an extension of that New Testament church, it is still the intention of God to confirm his work of salvation with signs and wonders. Those who believe that miracles were just for Bible days, they are truly mistaken. They are truly mistaken. Those that believe that the working of the Holy Ghost was just for another generation, no, they are mistaken. But that also means that if we are believers, if we are as Jesus commanded us to be, then there will be signs that follow us today. Some have tried to state that signs and wonders are something that we should not desire after. They point to the words of Jesus when the nobleman came to him because his son was at the point of death. He asked Jesus to come and heal his son, and we read in John 4:48, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. But this is not a rebuke. It was just a statement, a fact. After all, Jesus did go ahead and heal the boy that day. And I want to tell you, signs and wonders are a great aid to our faith. Yes, yes, our faith, it stands even when there's no sign, and even when there's no miracle, and even when there's no supernatural working of the Spirit of God. But I want to tell you, there's something about a miracle. When you know there was no way that it could have happened, you know there was no way naturally possible for it to come to pass, but it was a divine work of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, when we come to a service and the power of the Holy Ghost starts moving and working and transforming lives, it's a confirmation that this is really real. There really is something to this, that God is alive and he's working in our midst. I'm thankful for signs and wonders. Jesus told us why he wrote, or I'm sorry, John wrote, told us why he wrote his account of the gospel. In John chapter 20, verse 30, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." But then verse 31, he says, "But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have a life through his name." John wrote his book, and including the signs and the miracles that Jesus did, the few that he was able to cover, he wrote that so that we would believe. We don't base on our salvation on whether or not we receive a miracle. But we need to be seeing miracles. We need to be seeing divine works of God. We need to be seeing things that we cannot do on our own, but we know it had to be God working in our midst. And I believe there is a hunger in this church to see God confirm his word with signs and wonders and miracles. And I believe that that hunger will be filled. Oh, if we start looking around, I believe there's little miracles happening all the time. If we start looking around with an open heart, I believe God is working miracles all the time. But as we draw near to God and as we thank him for the little miracles, you start watching for big miracles to come to pass. You start watching for big things to happen. Start expecting it. Start praying it. Come on, start exercising your faith. Start looking for it. Because just as they went forth and preached everywhere in the New Testament, the Lord worked with them, but God is going to work with us. God is going to work with us. He's called us to be laborers for the harvest, but he's going to work with us, confirming his word with signs and wonders and miracles. Hallelujah. Is anybody hungry for the supernatural today? Come on. Does anybody want to see it happen in this generation? Amen. Does anybody want to see it happen in this church? I don't want to just hear about it in Africa. I don't want to just hear about it somewhere else. But I want to see it happen in Springfield, Missouri. I want to see it happen in the Show Me State. Oh, I want to see it. I want to see it for myself. I want to experience it for myself. There's a hunger here, and God's going to fill that hunger. There may be someone here today that you think, well, I've never seen a miracle. I've never seen the supernatural. I've never experienced the divine working of the Holy Ghost. I've never seen something happen that's beyond this natural realm. I want to tell you, if you just start saying, if you just step back and say, well, Lord, God, I've never seen it. Show me a miracle and I believe. That's not how it works. But if you start thanking God for it ahead of time, if you start believing the Lord for it ahead of the time, if you start thanking God for it and saying, Lord, I'm expecting it, I'm believing it. If you reach out and pray for somebody who's sick, that's when you're going to get a healing. When you start praying for a miracle, that's when God starts to work. When you start worshiping him for it, come on, sometimes you got to worship the Lord for the miracle before it ever happens. But there's something about faith, and there's something about worship when we step out in faith, when we begin to magnify God in the midst of our trouble, in the middle of our pain, in the midst of our sickness. And God says, I'm not going to leave them stranded out there. They're already worshiping me for it. I might as well do it. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but this pastor has got to see the supernatural. I'm not content in what we're able to do in our own strength, but there's a hunger, there's a desire, there's a passion to see the work of God done, to see things happen, and doors open, and miracles take place, miraculous financial blessings, things that are too crazy to even believe, but God, He worked, and God moved, and God answered prayer. Oh, bless the Lord, He is able to do it. There is nothing too hard for Him. Praise the Lord. He's just looking for some willing vessels. Some willing vessels that say, God, use me. I'll step out in faith. I know it's uncomfortable, but I'll speak the word of faith. I'll pray with somebody. I'll fast. I'll believe. Oh, God, if you'll just use me, I want to see your power and your glory in this world. Our text says that God confirmed with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's interesting to see here that the word is gifts. Not in this case the gift of the Holy Ghost, but gifts of the Holy Ghost. Since the writer of Hebrews used this plural form of gifts of the Holy Spirit, he must have been thinking about some things that were beyond just the initial gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive when we're born again. As if that wasn't enough. Come on, I want to tell you, it's the greatest gift you've ever received. If you're filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's the best thing that you have ever experienced. It's the best gift that anybody has ever given to you, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. It's like a well of living water inside of you springing up. Amen. I want to tell you, you drink of that water and you'll never thirst again. It is the best gift. But the writer says the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that when the Spirit of God fills our life, it is a wonderful gift in itself. 1 Corinthians 3:16 declares, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" You're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God, it dwelleth in you. When we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, like they did on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of us, and it's the best thing that could ever happen to us. It should be our number one desire to be full of the Holy Ghost, not just from the initial feeling, but infilling, but we need to keep that up. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. How do we stay full of the Holy Ghost? We have to keep our hearts right. We got to keep our minds right. We've got to keep seeking after God. We got to keep growing in faith. We got to keep praying in the Spirit. We all, no matter how long it's been since we received the Holy Spirit, we need to work to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Every altar call, and I know we do different things with distancing and all that. Some of you, you're not worried about it. Some of you are. You got to do what you're comfortable with, wear your mask, and that's okay. But every altar call should involve people praying in the Spirit. Every altar call should involve people praying in the Spirit. If we're full of the Holy Ghost ourselves, then we need to be praying with somebody else. Because somebody else is here that they're a little on empty, and so they need the Lord to help them, and we got to help them through that. If we're running on empty, we need a real refilling. Don't leave a church service without praying through to that place of victory. But we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit coming to live inside of our hearts. But even beyond this great gift, there are some gifts of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You see, there are some perks that go along with being a child of God. There's, There's some special things that are in store for us when we're born again of the water and of the Spirit. There's some gifts that you can only receive when you are full of the Holy Ghost. There's some rewards that only come from God, some good gifts that are only available to the people of God, and it's His Spirit that makes them possible in our lives. Obviously, there's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. These things are not produced from our flesh. Brother Madison, that's excellent. These things are not produced from our flesh. And we can try all we want to produce things like this on our own, but we'll fall short every time. But when we're full of the Spirit of God, when we're full of the Holy Ghost, then these fruit will be evident in our lives. If we're missing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, if we're missing those things, then we need to go back to the source. Come on, we need to get full of the Holy Ghost again. I know 2020, it was a weird time, and it was a trying time, and we were having church at home in our living rooms and all of that, and maybe we thought, well, I'm going to pray a lot during this time, but it didn't necessarily happen like that. But we've got to get back to the place that we are full of the Holy Ghost, because we need the power of God. We need the fruit of the Spirit. We need the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Apostle Paul teaches about the supernatural spiritual gifts that are given to people through the Holy Spirit. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirit, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. 9 supernatural gifts that help us to do the work of God. And as we grow in faith, God will give these to people. Maybe He'll give one. Maybe He'll give all 9. Maybe it's different gifts at different times, but they're supernatural gifts. And if we're going to do the work of God, we can't do it on our own, but we need the supernatural working of the Spirit of God. But beyond all of that, I believe there's some things that we need to be operating in. And today, I've come to challenge this church that we can no longer live just on a mediocre level. We can no longer just kind of barely make it, just kind of coasting through. But there is a time that God has ordained, and we are living in the end times, and there is a revival that must take place, and there is the work of God to do, and if we're going to do it, then we've got to rely on the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 declares, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There is power that is available from the Holy Ghost. We have a work to do. We have a work to do. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in this area who need the gospel, the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've got to somehow reach them. We've got to somehow reach them. And yes, we're going to do marketing campaigns. And yes, we're going to do Facebook ads. And yes, we're going to do all of these things on a mass level. But I want to tell you, the most effective way is somebody's talking to somebody else and saying, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you, I once used to be addicted just like you're addicted, but Jesus set me free. Why don't you come to church with me? Come on, my marriage used to be broken just like your marriage is broken. But why don't you come to church with me and we're going to pray that the Lord's going to put the pieces back together again. That is the most powerful force for reaching this world, is somebody saying, let me tell you what God's done for me. But oh, I'm so nervous. I'm the only one in my high school that's apostolic. I'm afraid of what people are going to say. I'm afraid of what people are going to do. And oh, the peer pressure. And oh, I just, I don't know how to even speak. I'm shy, and I can't even get the words out. I can't teach a Bible study, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. You look at the Apostle Peter. Before the crucifixion, he's gathered around the fire with all of the servants, and they said, "Hey, aren't you one of them?" "Oh, not me. Not me. Oh, no, we hear your speech. It betrays you. I want to tell you, you don't fit in your school. You don't fit in. When you have been touched by the presence of God, when you are covered by the blood of Jesus, you don't fit in with everybody else. There's something different. And people look at you, even if you try to hide it, even if you're quiet about it, they still look at you and they know there's something different about them. There's something, I feel it. I hear it in their speech. I feel it about them. I see it upon them." But Peter was so shy. Peter was so timid. He was not able to proclaim anything. Oh, he had just said, "Hey, I'll go to the death with you, Lord." But you look what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass just like Jesus prophesied. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when that power of God fell in the upper room and it spilled out into the streets and people started gathering around, there was people from all of those areas that were gathered to see what they heard and try to figure out what was going on. And Peter, he got up with boldness. And he said, "Let me tell you about what's happening here. This is what you heard prophesied about. And this is the answer. And if you want to be saved, you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And you've got to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Come on, it is our goal to have a Bible study group of some sort in every campus, in every high school, in every junior high, elementary if we can do it, in every college campus in this area, because people need to hear about the Word of God. But how are we going to do it? You're going to have to pray until you get full of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to pray until you're full of the Spirit. "Oh, but Pastor, I'm so nervous. Pastor, I'm not popular. Pastor, I just don't know if I can do it." I want to tell you what, young people, if you'll begin to pray, if you'll begin to seek the Lord, if you begin to pray in the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, then you may not even have to set it up yourself, but there'll be a moment that somebody asks a question and God will give you the answer. There'll be a moment that someone asks for prayer and you'll pray and the prayer will be answered and it'll open the door and God will make a way. You just have to be full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And I've come to tell somebody today, you've been battling the spirit of fear. You've been battling anxiety and stress and worry and all of that pressure on your life. But I want to tell you, that is not meant for you. God's not given us the spirit of fear. Luke chapter 10 verse 19, he said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You have power. You have authority through the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need to be praying in the Spirit every day. You need to be praying in the Holy Ghost every day. You need to have a breakthrough every day where you get alone with God and you pray through until you can pray in tongues and you pray in the Spirit and you receive that strength and that power. Praise the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Throughout his earthly ministry, we find Jesus, he would always speak to those who were troubled, and he'd say, "Be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. But he knew that he was going away, and so he said, you know what? The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. I want to tell you, there is a comfort that comes from having the Holy Spirit in your life. There's a comfort that, yes, everything may be falling apart around us. The world just, it may be falling apart, and we may not have everything figured out on the job, and we may not have our family just all perfect, but there is a comfort that what we do have is the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sharamonda yanalaba sata yanalala bahaya. I've heard stories of my grandparents that they was in the early days of serving the Lord in Missouri, and churches were young, and they weren't big, and they weren't established, and they didn't have a lot of money, and they didn't have a lot of stuff, but what they did have was the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And the highlight of their week was when they got to head to church. And they drive that drive. It was a good distance. It was a good drive. And they drive that drive. And they'd sing hymns and songs. And they just rejoice together. Because what they had found was greater than all the riches of this world. And what they had received was greater than anything they'd ever experienced in life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, that peace, that comfort, that shelter of the presence of God will be in your home. It'll be on your job. It'll be when you go to school. Everywhere you go, the angel of the Lord will encamp round about you. It's the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Acts 9 and 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. There is a gift of comfort that can only come from the Lord, where you lay your head down on the pillow at night, and yes, you've got things to worry about, and yes, there's stressful things happening, yes, there's bills that got to get paid, but you lay your head down on that pillow at night, and there's a comfort of knowing that I'm the Lord's, and I'm in God's hand, and he's going to work things out, and he's going to make a way. There is a teaching that comes as a gift of the Holy Ghost. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost, it gives you wise counsel. Wise counsel. If you have something you can't figure out on the job, let the Holy Ghost work. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're up against something and you don't know the answer to it, let the Holy Ghost work. Go to prayer. God cares about everyday situations in our life. Amen. Jesus knew he would be going away, and so we would need the Holy Ghost as a helper, as a teacher, as an advocate. Amen. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, it's not just earthly wisdom, but it's godly wisdom, and God will direct us, and God will give us strength, and God will open the right doors. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, but as it is written, eye have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There's a difference in reading and studying the Word of God on our own and reading the Word of God and reading it with the Holy Ghost inside of us. There's some things that people are just not going to get from the Word of God if they don't have the Holy Spirit. But when you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, he will reveal things to you. There will be a spirit of revelation that comes, and you'll be reading something that maybe you read before in the flesh, but all of a sudden the Spirit brings something to your mind, and ooh, That's to me. That's to my situation. That's to exactly what I'm going through. There is a revelation that comes from the power of the Holy Ghost, and we need that today. Jesus said in John 16 and 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." There's a gift of conviction. There's a gift of conviction. Is temptation sin? No, Jesus was tempted, but without sin. You're going to be tempted, but you can overcome temptation. And there's a conviction that comes that is a check in the Holy Ghost. You know what? That's not a good activity for me to be involved in. That's not a good place for me to go. That's not a party that I need to attend. That's not a friend I need to have. There's a conviction that comes that saves us, that protects us. Hallelujah. It's more than just being saved, folks. Yeah, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost so that we're going to heaven. But more than that, we need the gifts that come with the Holy Ghost. And we need that conviction that can keep our heart from sin. We need that protection that can give us a check in the spirit that we know, you know what, that's not something I need to be involved in because it's not going to be pleasing unto God. It's going to be dangerous to my spirit. And so I'm going to listen to the Holy Ghost. But that conviction, that check. It's a gift. It's a gift. We need to pray, God, let my heart be sensitive. Let my heart be sensitive. Protect my heart from bitterness. Protect my heart from the things of sin. Protect my heart from the attacks of the enemy. But Lord, let me be sensitive to your spirit so that I know where to walk and I know what to do and what not to do and where to go. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been faced with a need, a situation, and you just didn't even know what to pray? You wanted to pray. You knew you needed to pray. You knew you needed God's help, but you didn't know what to pray. For we know not what to pray, what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you pray in the Holy Ghost, Pastor? Here's what I do. It may help you. I'll go to the Lord in my time of prayer, and I'll start out. I'll start with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids. Thank you, know, all that. And then I'll go into worship. Lord, I praise you and worship you. There is none like you. You are the only wise God. I bless your name. I lift you up. I exalt you, Jesus. And you start feeling the Holy Ghost starting to move. And then I'll say, Lord God, search my heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Lord, forgive me of every sin. I repent of every sin. Lord, I turn away from it. Amen. And Lord, if there's bitterness in my heart, I pray that you'd remove it. Lord, remove any root of bitterness. And Lord, I pray that you'd heal that place in my heart, because I want to be right with you and I want to be right with others, Lord. And then I go into prayer for different needs and different situations, and I pray everything in English that I know to pray. Lord, I pray for Brother Madison. I pray that you'd help him, Lord. God, I was going to make a joke, but we just want to go there. Madison needs a lot of prayer, folks. He's a good young man, but I tell you what, he spent a lot of time fishing, a lot of time hunting, and we're going to go kayaking together here soon. But Lord, God, pray for Madison. God, I pray that you'd work in his life. He's getting married soon, and Lord, I want your direction upon him. And Lord, I pray that you bless him and bless their home. And Lord, guide him and direct him. Let him be full of the Holy Ghost. And I pray everything I know to pray in my spirit in English. But then there's another level that you can go to, and you start praying in tongues. And you don't know what you're praying, but God knows what Madison's going through. And he knows what he's going to face on the job today. And he knows what exactly is going on in his life. And as you begin to pray in the spirit and you pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost maketh intercession, because God knows what's going on. And he uses your body. He uses this clay, this temple of the Holy Ghost, to pray his will and his purpose and his plan. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you might go into that time of intercession, you think, oh, if anybody saw me, if anybody heard me, they think I was crazy, because there's groanings that cannot be uttered, and I'm praying in tongues, and I don't even know what I'm praying for, but I feel the burden, and God's working through me. You don't be embarrassed of that. You find yourself a prayer closet, because it's the most powerful prayer you could ever pray when the Spirit is praying through you. I wish somebody would just let the Spirit begin to work right now, and God would minister through your life. Come on, I don't know what the needs are in every situation, but God knows, the Holy Ghost knows, and I believe that God can work in this place. He is wanting to do miracles and signs and wonders. Would somebody just let the Lord begin to move in you right now, in Jesus' name? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, there's some young people. You need to learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost, because you need the power that comes with that. You need the boldness that comes with that. Come on, there's some adults here today that you've never really learned how to pray in the Spirit. You need to pray through until you get to the place that you can flow in the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit can pray through you, and you're full of the power of the Spirit. You're full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, you're lacking. You're lacking. You're not up to your full potential if you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Ilamanoto sororoto shataya kiatamaha. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, in the name of Jesus, in the name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Let me tell you something, as your pastor, I covet your prayers. I covet the prayers of the church, and I'm thankful for the prayers of this church. And I'm thankful that people that you're sensitive to the Lord, and you're not going to pray your own will, but you pray, God, let the will of God be done in pastor's life and direct him and guide him and help him and strengthen him. But I want to pray, tell you, if you pray in the Holy Ghost, God knows exactly what needs to be prayed for your pastor. I don't share everything with the church all the time that I'm going through. I post seldom on social media because, there's some people, they're always, well, I'm fighting this spirit and I'm fighting this battle and I'm facing this temptation. And you know what? Just a little word to the wise, don't tell the devil how good he's doing. Don't give the devil more information than he needs to know. Well, my family's being attacked, and I and this and that, and I'm just going through it, and y'all pray for me because I just don't know if I'm barely going to make it. Don't give the devil more information than he needs to know. Just pray in the Spirit, and the Lord's going to take care of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't tell people, well, I didn't sleep last night because I was battling this and something came to me in the night and woke me up and I was shaking. And I don't go through all of that. But I tell you what, I'm thankful that there are some saints of God in this church that they'll call me or text and say the next day, hey, I don't know what happened at 3 a.m. last night, but I was praying for you because I knew you were battling something and they were exactly right. Hallelujah. Come on. This is a gift. It is a gift of the Holy Ghost to be able to pray in the Spirit, to be led of the Holy Ghost. And God accomplishes what he wants to do through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe today that the world wants to strip believers of the gifts that God has given them. And he wants to replace them with counterfeits. He wants to replace them with the things of this world. He wants them to be so full of their own flesh and so full of the attractions and pleasures of this world that they don't even realize there's a gift of God. They don't even realize that they could be used in intercessory prayer. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I don't care who you are today. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care how much you've messed up. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And God is reaching for you and saying, I've got some gifts that I want to give you. I've already provided it for you. You just need to take advantage of it. You just need to operate in it. You need to learn. You need to develop that gift. You need to learn how to be used in the Spirit. You need to pray till you're full of the Holy Ghost so I can work through you. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Amen. No matter what you've done, you come back to an altar and you repent and you get right with God and you let God start to work through you through the gifts that he has given. Would you stand with me in closing today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Love, the love of God, is a gift from the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The love of God, it's It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. And if we don't have it, it doesn't matter how much faith we've got. It doesn't matter how much we can speak in tongues. It does not matter how much we can prophesy and understand the mysteries of the Spirit. If we don't have love, Paul said, we have nothing. God, help us to be full of the Holy Ghost, that your love would be shed abroad in our hearts. Lord, let everybody we meet feel your love through us. Let every word that I speak, let it be tempered in your love. God, help my wife to feel your love through me. Help my kids to feel your love through me. Come on, we come up lacking when we do it in our own strength. But if we can get full of the Holy Ghost, there is a gift of the love of God that will touch everything we do. Sister Audra, the love of God can flow through your teaching. In a public school, you're not even teaching about God. You're just teaching English or whatever it is. And the love of God can flow through that and touch hearts. You know, I believe there's a reason why she's been nominated for Teacher of the Year and all of this and won these awards. Thank God for his love that shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. I believe the world wants to steal these gifts. He does not want us to operate in them. The enemy does not want you to operate in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But they are gifts of God and they're without repentance. And we need today to get to the place in the Spirit that God can begin to move. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God, all across this house today, I pray that you will let your Spirit move and that your power would work. I pray that the gift of the Holy Spirit would fill every life and every heart. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, everything hinges on that. If you've never received that gift of salvation, you need that today. Amen. You need to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Lord, forgive me of everything I've done. I'm sorry, Lord, for every sin. I'm sorry for every mistake, Lord. Forgive me, Jesus. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to make an appointment. We need to do that sooner rather than later. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can have it right here before you leave today. You may be watching online and you can receive it right there in your living room right now. If you'll ask God to forgive you of your sins and if you'll lift up your hands and begin to worship him and thank him for that, then God will begin to move and his Spirit will begin to work. And all of a sudden, your lips will start to tremble and then all of a sudden your tongue will want to say things that are not in English. You go ahead and give into that as the Spirit gives the utterance and God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if it's been too long since you prayed through in the Spirit, you need to seek the presence of God right now. You need to get everything else out of the way and you need to push close to Jesus and say, Lord, I've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. I've got to be full of your power. I've got to be full of the Spirit. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost and power today. In Jesus' name, oh, would you reach out to the Lord? Would you reach out to God? Would you reach out to his presence right now? Lord, let your Spirit fill me. Let it fill my heart. Let it fill my mind. Let it cover me today, Lord. Work and move in me, I pray, in Jesus' name.